Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
And now,
Consumer Talk featuring Wendy Nola.
Wendy is joining us from Johannesburg today, which means we're doing things via Zoom. We're going to be revisiting a topic that we've spoken about several times before, the use of ticket reselling sites like Viagogo and similar platforms and the risks that come with it and what you need to know before you make that purchase. We have got some recent case studies which offer a good opportunity to look at recent developments in this space. And then, as I mentioned, we will make space for some open line calls towards the end of the hour as well. So 021-446-0567 is the number to dial, and you can also send a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Good to have you with us, Wendy, even if it must be at a distance.
Thank you, Pippa. Good to be with you.
Thanks. I mean, I've lost count of the number of emails we've received over the years from people who were either duped into paying a small fortune for concert tickets, much, much more than the original selling price, or those who have arrived at a show and been turned away at the turnstile because their tickets weren't even valid. I mean, we've shared a number of sad cases, and yet, Wendy, people still keep falling for it because they're in such a rush to get the ticket before they're all sold out that they don't realize they're buying not from the original vendor, but from a third-party platform. And that's why we want to do this update today. So tell us a little bit more about the context here.
Okay. So this is a problem that applies to lots of categories of purchases on the internet. So you, whether it's shoes or whatever, we aren't paying enough attention generally to the site that we're on and the URL of the site that we're on. And we only find out later that we're engaging with a company other than the one we thought we were.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing out of this, is to always keep a beady eye on the URL and look at it very carefully, every letter, because it could be a clone site and it's just one, you know, digit different or missing that your eye doesn't easily spot. So that's the first thing. But the third-party reseller site Viagogo recently acquired its sister brand StubHub, and they claim that they will refund holders of their tickets if they are denied entry to a concert or event. But in practice, is that happening? How often is it happening? How easily is it happening? And then, of course, you've got the situation that in many cases, people travel to these events across provinces and they want to overnight there, obviously. So there are airfares or at least a lot of petrol costs and the cost of accommodation as well to factor in. So it's all very well getting back your ticket price, but that's not the end of your
expense.
Financial exposure, right? Yeah. So when we've taken this up in the past, where, say, Ticketmaster that's been running the tickets for an event say, no, we're not accepting Viagogo, we're not accepting StubHub. Viagogo has told us that their platform gives consumers the freedom to buy and sell tickets on a regulated platform that is trusted by millions around the world. They've accused the big ticketing platforms of anti-competitive behavior and a desire to control ticket distribution, and always make the point here and in other countries that it's perfectly legal to pass on, sell, or give tickets to other people, and that genuine fans are being left disappointed when they can't get their hands on tickets on the original platforms.
As you say, though, what about that genuine fan who pays the inflated price, books their airfare, pays for overnight accommodation, all of those extra costs, and then gets turned away at the stadium? There's no refund for all of that. And I mean, when we've spoken to them previously, they've always emphasized every ticket on Viagogo is a legitimate one, and their guarantee is that if you are turned away from the event, they will refund you, and you can have utmost confidence in that. But as the case studies today are going to show, you can't always have utmost confidence in the ease of that process. Let's start with Ernest's
Sometimes you need
story.
Help.
Yeah. Yes. Tell us what happened to Ernest.
So, let me just find it. He paid, he wrote us last week because he'd bought two tickets for the Jeffrey Osborne concert at Empress Palace in Joburg. He paid for them in mid-March, and the concert was late last month. He used StubHub. It was his first time. It's been owned by Viagogo since mid-March, but the 3,000 rand he paid went down the drain when he arrived at the venue. He and his partner tried to use a screenshot of the tickets, and that's a story in itself we'll get to.
Yeah.
He was handed a note stating that TicketPro was not affiliated to Viagogo or its associates and that the tickets would not be accepted. So it seems to be whether whatever form his tickets were in from Viagogo, they were not going to be accepted.
Yeah.
So they paid another he'd paid almost 3,000 rand for the two tickets from Viagogo or StubHub. And then he paid another 1,900 rand to get in and enjoy the concert, and then began his struggle for a refund. So remember, he's all told he's almost 5,000 rand out of pocket. They did get to see the concert, but he wanted that 3,000 rand back. He says he was attempting to engage with StubHub, not getting anywhere fast. Until the 11th of April, I thought this was quite clever, he received an email advertising another concert. So he used that email address to again request a refund. And this time he was able to connect with an agent called Louis. Louis apparently apologized for what had happened to him, but said, but when he wrote to us, no refund had materialized. So he was still out of pocket by 3,000 rand.
So an apology, but not your money back. Now, you emailed the Viagogo press office asking why he hadn't been refunded. What did they tell you?
Yes. And I must say, at least the media office does engage with us. Our emails don't just get ignored. They argued that the emails to Ernest had bounced, hence his having to rely on a screenshot rather than the actual ticket. And they blamed it on him, what they called buyer error, saying that the seller had uploaded the tickets correctly and that Ernest should have had no issue downloading them. But as I said, based on the note that Ernest was handed at the venue, the type of ticket or the format that it was in wasn't the issue. The issue was that they don't accept Viagogo or StubHub issued tickets. The good news, though, is at least our intervention had some result. They agreed to refund Ernest in full, and he did get the money in the early hours of a couple of mornings ago. And so they also then saw fit to send through a long list of tips advising StubHub buyers to download their tickets as soon as the purchase is completed and to contact them well before the date of a concert in the event of any problems with ticket delivery.
Which neatly ignores the fact that that wasn't the issue in this case. Wendy, and as Ernest said to you in his response, they didn't take sort of any responsibility or accountability for the fact that his ticket had been declined. And he also pointed out that comment about contact us well in advance of the concert if there's an issue, written on the confirmation of booking email he got, was the comment that some event tickets are only made available on the day of the event. So how are you supposed to know when
how long to wait?
Yeah, how long should you wait before you raise the red flag?
Exactly. And I think, well done to Ernest for taking those screenshots, because he wouldn't have had that email otherwise. It obviously comes when you've gone right through the process and paid your money.
Yeah.
And he took screenshots every step of the way because he said he was new to this process and he wanted to
have proof
protect
of
himself, which is another great tip for all of us, especially if you're on a new site, is just document everything. So he got his money back, but I did try to engage with TicketPro, by the way. I shared this case study with them and said, now, is it the case that, you know, whatever, even if he'd had the printed ticket, that they wouldn't have been accepted based on that note? And unfortunately, I sent it to their published media liaison email address on Monday, and I haven't had a response yet. So, but I'm assuming that that would be the case, because that has been the case with other concerts,
With other tickets. That they simply say we will not. And I've got to say, Wendy, the last few times I've bought tickets for a major concert, it's been there in black and white with big, bold warnings: we will not accept tickets bought on the third party platform. And it's, you know, it's there in writing. So, but of course, if you're the person who's buying on the third party platform, you haven't seen that warning, unfortunately. Let me just share a comment that's coming in before we move on to the next case study. Jonathan's asking, how are companies like this still allowed to operate? He said, yes, we as consumers need to be cautious, but should there not be laws against this? Why is our trade and industry department not taking this up? Has anybody tried to?
Not that I'm aware of. I think the only thing that is a valid form of addressing it is consumer awareness.
Yeah.
And there's a platform that we discussed last February. I think it was the last time we talked about these third-party ticket resellers. And we spoke to Claire Turnham.
Yes. She's the activist. Yeah, for listeners who don't remember, Claire's the activist. She's received an MBE for her work on this case. She started out as a regular victim of Viagogo, as she calls it. She was duped arriving at a concert and being turned away. And she was so outraged that she started gathering together case studies of others and learned to work the system in terms of accessing refunds, and has helped so many people to do so. And Wendy, your comment about documenting everything, I remember, was one of the things she said. If you are going to risk buying on one of these platforms, document every single step of the way, so that if things go wrong, you've got all of the evidence to fall back on and demand your refund.
Exactly. So let's talk about the other case, and then I'll talk about an interesting Advertising Standards Authority case in the UK couple of months, which talks to this, and also talks to what Viagogo claims it's the rate of declining of these tickets at concerts and other events. So Tandi Majorzi's case was slightly different. In August last year, she bought tickets for the Cape Town International Jazz Festival for the second day via Viagogo. The concert or the event festival was meant to happen in February, but was later postponed to the first weekend of May, which is coming up very soon. Yeah. She said Viagogo started advertising the same event again, so I expected my order to be updated as such, but it still remained as a postponed event. I then contacted their customer support services, and for over a month, I've had no meaningful response. And actually, Pippa, she sent me a very large video file of all her engagement, scrolling, but all just sort of saying, thank you, we acknowledge, and we'll look into it, and we'll escalate, but no real response as to what the status of her tickets were. She'd bought this as a treat for her husband, who is a jazz lover. She says, no one can confirm if I still have valid tickets or not. I stay in Joburg. I'm even afraid to book flights and accommodation because the tickets are not confirmed. First, I was told I would get a response after 7 days. Then they said they needed another 3 days. It's now been over a month. Still nothing. She said she did have a conversation with one of their call center agents, who basically told her that she was covered and they would refund her if she couldn't gain entry. Well, I mean, that's not cold comfort, as we say. If you're in Joburg and you know, I don't know that I would outlay flight and accommodation money on the strength of that. And she says also every time she does phone, it's a fresh inquiry, which is a complaint that many people make about many companies.
Yeah.
So she's got to start all over again. Anyway, so I took up her case with Viagogo as well. And I said, there's a lot at stake here, mentioning the outlay that you'd have to make for accommodation and travel. I said, if she is unlikely to gain entry with her tickets, please just say so and refund her, because if she makes those bookings and incurs extra costs, she may get her ticket spend refunded, but not the others.
Yeah.
Expenses. So this morning, the Viagogo press office got back to me to say, the team has confirmed that the event has been rescheduled and the buyers have been notified via email.
Hello.
Excuse me. The new date, I'm here. Yep. The new date is set for the 4th of May at 5 p.m. The seller is required to transfer the tickets to the buyer by the 3rd of May. So, you know, the last minute. Mm.
So she is protected by their guarantee. So should she take the risk and come down to Cape Town and be turned away at the gate, don't worry, we'll refund your ticket. But they're not going to refund the flights from Joburg to Cape Town, the hotel accommodation, the Uber to the venue, and all the other many associated and very expensive costs that go with it. But Wendy, now, if she backs out now and says, well, just cancel the tickets, does she get her money back now? Because they're going to probably say, no, the event is still going ahead and you bought tickets.
The warranty relates only to being turned away with your Viagogo tickets. In other words, your tickets not allowing you entrance into the event, whatever it is. She could come down and then, assuming there were any last minute tickets to buy, but then you're going to have grotty tickets and maybe not even that if it's sold out. So you're then still out of pocket and you don't see the concert. So It's just, you know, I thought the case very graphically illustrated some of the issues that one needs to know up front, that the risk that you're taking, as I say, you may get your money back, you may have to fight for that, and you may get that, but it's not the whole story if you don't live in the same city.
Yeah. Wendy, Claude.
And often that's the case.
Yeah. Claude just messaging in to say Viagogo are now advertising tickets for the Box versus All Blacks rugby game. Can you imagine the demand and given the prices, the potential for a really big scam here? Yeah, please. Oh, I mean, it's it's so frustrating. Wendy, I understand how it happens. You want to get your hands on tickets. They sell out quickly. So many of these events, there's preferential booking for Discovery card holders, for example. So you've already lost out on the first wave opportunity to get your hand on it. So people do feel desperate. And if you are the Taylor Swift fan or the Bok rugby fan who has waited your whole lifetime to watch this event, you are going to feel pressured. You are going to feel you've got to grab whatever is offered to you first just to make sure you're going to be there. And the potential for not realizing that you are, in fact, not buying an original ticket, you can understand how it happens. But, I mean, as you said, consumer awareness, making people look twice, and if they see it is a Viagogo ticket, think twice about the ramifications of that, because are you really going to risk waiting until a few hours before the event to receive your ticket? I certainly would not be able to live with that kind of anxiety leading up to it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that key advice, which applies universally to any time you're transacting online, is to just train your eye to go to that URL, the website address, click there on the right-hand side and see what pops up and read those letters very carefully. Know exactly which site you are on and make sure it's the site that you want to be on. The other thing about the Viagogo tickets is that they usually come as a premium, at a premium, as you said earlier, Pippa. And so people feel they're not checking what the going rate is. They just want the tickets. Big spend. It's a special spend, and they don't check. And so it's not as if you're taking a chance on a cut price ticket. Quite the opposite.
Yeah, it's quite the opposite. Okay.
In most cases.
Now, after the news, we will fill you in on a recent development in the UK, because as you mentioned, Wendy, their Advertising Standards Authority has recently made a ruling against Viagogo that I think is worth sharing with our audience members. And if anybody else has been caught out in recent times and would like to share with us, or if you have had the experience that the purchase went fine and all was okay, you're welcome to tell us that as well.
You're with Cape Talk.
This is Pippa Hudson on Lunch.
Now, before the break, Wendy Nola was sharing those latest case studies around Viagogo ticket holders and the issue of refunds and the risk of arriving at an event and being turned away because they say, sorry, that's not an accredited ticket seller. Wendy, perhaps you'd like to just explain to the person asking, where is Viagogo getting the tickets that they are selling? They're not necessarily bulk buying them and selling them on at inflated prices. It's other people reselling the tickets that they've purchased, yes?
Yes, pretty much that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's quite a sophisticated mechanism. And there have been many, if you just Google, there have been quite a few documentaries and conspiracy theories and all the rest as to how it all works. But I wanted to share this ruling. It's a very long ruling, which I've condensed. But mm-hmm. The United Kingdom's Advertising Standards Authority 3 months ago found that two of Viagogo's advertorials misled consumers by omitting material information regarding the entry restrictions, rather, on tickets purchased through them and other secondary ticketing sales. So Viagogo said it did not believe that its ads were misleading. They simply stated that tickets for the events were legitimately available on their secondary ticketing marketplace, and they were not offering to consumers to enter into a transaction for a specific ticket. There was no law which prohibited the resale of tickets for music events, and Viagogo believes that there's nothing in their adverts which implied that Viagogo was an official primary ticketing outlet, which sounds quite familiar, excuse me.
Yeah.
So they said it was extremely unlikely that a customer would not gain admission, to an event after purchasing a ticket, even if the terms and conditions of the event itself purported that resale tickets were prohibited. Well, tell that to someone who's been, what must they do? If you've been told you're prohibited, how do you then get in?
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue that, but the concert organizer says this is not a valid ticket. You don't have a leg to stand on.
Off you go. Yeah. Exactly. They also claimed, and this could presumably pertain only to the UK market, the ruling wasn't clear, less than 1% of customers were denied entry to events after having purchased a ticket on their platform, and they operated a guarantee so that if a customer was not admitted, they would be entitled to a refund, which sounds very nice and low risk, but in practice, I don't know. I mean, I heard you before the break saying, you know, if you have had no problem gaining entry to your event with such a ticket, StubHub, Viagogo, please let us know, because, you know, we only hear
from people
those
who
have
away.
Been denied. Yeah. And then it's always the case that those, you know, concert organizers and the ticketing partners have had a blanket we will not accept. So it's quite hard to understand
the scale
counter.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah. How do people get in? Mm. Presumably they do, because otherwise, you know, it would just be endless years of people buying tickets they can never use. So that's the mystery of, so I'd love to hear from someone
how
who didn't
they're
have
navigating
a problem.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But the ASA, to get back to that case, said that the ads did not include any information to make consumers aware that some venues, including the ones listed in that case, did not accept resale tickets, and that consumers who purchased them might be refused entry on the door. And obviously they were told not to advertise in that way in advertorials. Again, they did have some UK government prohibitive notice on their website, which made force them to add all those tricky terms and conditions about may not gain entry. But they were doing a workaround because it wasn't our website. It was our advertorial somewhere else. So now the ASA said, no, it applies. You know, this now they've had this new ruling to say, well, you can't do it in your advertorials either.
Okay.
Quite to say that, you know, there is this possibility that you might not get in with these tickets.
So Neville asking or commenting on the WhatsApp line, the other problem is when you're looking for a ticket from the legitimate site that sells them directly and find that they're sold out. And then, boom, you're suddenly on Google and there are other sites that are offering tickets for that, like a Viagogo. That's where the temptation comes in to say, oh, well, the original seller was sold out, but I'm going to take one of these and I will be able to go after all. Neville's comment is, why do they allow bulk sales knowing that those will be tickets that go on to be resold? It seems to happen at a lot of important events.
Yeah, that's the burning question. Why do they? I don't know. I don't. I suppose the organizers will argue that they make the warnings about second reselling sites very clear and, you know, buyer beware kind of thing. But more than that, there doesn't seem to be anything, and people like us constantly going on about it, doesn't seem to be much in the way of consumer protection against this practice. And it starts with there being no law against it. So as long as that's the case, I guess it will continue.
So, yeah, as Tebo was asking, does this mean that Viagogo isn't a legal platform? And if it is illegal, why isn't it being shut down? So you're saying it's not, there's no law that says this can't be done.
No.
But there should be, Wendy. That's the bottom line.
There should be,
because they are putting consumers at considerable risk every time they make that resale.
Yeah, and they come up very, you know, prominently on searches. And as our listener said, you know, especially if you didn't get, you know, from the legitimate sites, if the tickets are all sold out, and then you suddenly see them available again, then that's a problem. I remember the last time we talked about Viagogo, what is that big concert?
The Calabash in February?
No, I've just gone blank. But anyway, he told us that they hadn't even officially decided on their prices and put them out, and they were available on Viagogo. Yeah. I mean, that just tells you everything, doesn't it?
You know what else tells you a lot, Wendy? I know certainly over in the States, firstly, the one thing that tells you a lot is that several countries have actually outlawed them, Australia being one of them, I know. The other thing that's very telling is that a number of the artists themselves are speaking out against this practice and saying, we don't want our fans to be conned into paying exorbitant inflated prices to come come and see us perform. That's not, you know, so the artists themselves are clamping down, saying we will only work with our single legitimate ticketing platform. And
yes,
they're part of the pushback, which is great. If only more of them would do it, perhaps this practice would be put to bed.
Exactly. I think Ed Sheeran was the most
yes.
widely publicized of those artists who took a very vocal stand about it. Yeah.
In fact, it was an Ed Sheeran concert that got Claire Turnham, the activist, started,
I
remember correctly.
That's
she ended
right.
up going on tour with him to help fans who'd been caught in that position. Look, we don't need to revisit all of her advice around demanding your refund. The key thing to say is document. Take screenshots, make a note, hold on to any email correspondence, save it somewhere so that you've got it if you do unfortunately have to call on it. The other thing she told us, Wendy, which I think bears repeating, is please resist the temptation to resell, because they might say, oh, well, if you're worried, sell them back to us and we'll sell them on to somebody else. And it might be an easy way out for you, but it just perpetuates the practice and makes somebody else the victim in this.
Exactly. Yeah. So, absolutely claim that refund. But as we said right at the start, for somebody like Tando, it doesn't put all the money back in your pocket that you've outlaid in order to be there that evening, traveling and accommodation. And so that is the big risk. It's an especially risky endeavor for those who are attending events outside of their hometown.
And here is the proof of the charging issue in a message saying, I purchased tickets for the Stormers game last Friday. Viagogo charged R185 each. And when I printed those tickets, the price on the tickets was R65. So you were charged almost triple the price to buy them. Were you able to attend the game? I assume from the way you phrased that, that you did attend the game. So at least you got to see it and weren't turned away. But it must sit very bitter to know that you paid three times the asking price that you would have paid if you'd bought them from the original vendor. All right, we're going to take a very short break and we'll be back after this continuing the conversation with Wendy. If you want to keep on commenting or asking questions about the issue of third-party ticket resellers, please keep those WhatsApps coming to 072-567-1567. Also happy to move into open line though, so if something else is on your mind around a consumer matter, give us a call on 021-446-0567.
Consumer Talk.
Open line.
Call 021-446-0567.
We've got a couple of voice notes coming through in response to the ticket reselling Viagogo conversation. We're going to take a listen to that. But just a reminder, we're now into open line. You're welcome to call in or send a WhatsApp on other topics as well.
Hi, Pippa. Wendy, what they should do is the original sellers of the tickets should create a mechanism that allows for resales to be done only through them. So only Ticket Pro would be able to then purchase the ticket back and then make it available again. That would create a solution and stop all this frustration. Thanks so much. Neil here.
Hi, I just want to ask for help with regards to the Viagogo. My wife bought Springbok All Black tickets on Viagogo for, I think, just over R8,000 for two tickets for the upcoming test. Immediately when she sent me the receipt, I told her to try and do the refund and dispute the charge with the bank, because I've heard Viagogo on this platform and the issues that have been raised before. But she has no such luck. I mean, what is our next course of action with regards to trying cancelling this or getting our money back? Thanks. Bye.
Wendy, do you think we should share Claire's email address in response to that one? For
Why not?
Viagogo. So to the person,
I mean, it's
who said
a very high stakes case.
Yeah, it's a very expensive one you're talking about. Remember, we mentioned that consumer activist Claire Turnham, who's been working on this issue for years and has started the platform called Victim of Viagogo. If you're on Facebook, go onto Facebook and search for Victim of Viagogo. She's got a Facebook page that includes information on how to demand your refund and what steps to follow. She also has an email address, though, if you're not getting anywhere by trying all of those steps. You can send an email to victimofviagogo@gmail.com and ask her for help. try and follow the steps first and see if they will play ball. But if you don't get anywhere, then use that email address, victimofviagogo@gmail.com, and see if you can enlist Claire to fight on your behalf. She has had many years of practice by now, and she's had remarkable success helping people get their money back. Wendy, again, it doesn't address the issue of all of the secondary charges that go with this kind of mistake. She can't get you back the money you spent on the plane ticket to fly to the concert venue, the accommodation and all of that, but she can at least help you get back the money spent on the tickets themselves.
Yes, but in advance, it would be interesting to know if she can, because you know, you can't say that you didn't get what you paid for until you get to the door and you can't get in. You get to the gate and you can't get in. And that's the difficulty here. By which time you've had all those other, you know, that other outlay of money just to get to the point of being at the gate. So it's just a really, really unfortunate situation. And what a pity both of the husband and wife didn't listen to our shows, Pippa.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't have happened. But anyway, definitely like to know how that pans out.
Okay, let us know. And I'd be really, as you said, it's a very difficult one because you can't claim they haven't delivered on the sales promise because the event hasn't happened yet. So what do you do to demand your money back? But that's where I would suggest you start with that Victims of Viagogo platform and maybe pose your question there and ask if anybody has been in the same position and how they, what sort of phrasing they use to navigate it successfully. I hope you will get some help there. All right. We did say we'd make some space for some open line calls this afternoon. And I'm going to start with a message that came in last week, Wendy, before we move on to any new WhatsApps, because it's an old chestnut of a topic we've spoken about many times, but from a slightly different perspective. How often have we dealt with the question of, oh, trying to cancel my TV license? And we've still got the affidavit and the set of instructions on how to do that if anybody's in that boat. But this is a little bit different. Somebody wrote in to say, it's not a case of cancelling the TV license. I never had one. I don't own a television. I don't know how my cell phone number has come to be associated with this demand, but a debt collector keeps on and on and on phoning me and demanding payment for this TV license. And no matter how many times I block the number, it pops up in a different form. Is there any way to check who actually owns the television whose license they are pursuing so that I can redirect them to the actual indebted person is the question. I'm loath to phone the SABC and hand over more personal information which could be abused going forward.
Yeah, this is a tricky one because she's not saying, he or she's not saying that they never had a TV license. It could be the case that they didn't cancel it in the correct fashion. And as you say, we've tackled that on the show and we've even got our hands on an official cancellation form, which we have shared with many of our listeners.
Yeah.
But if it's the case that they never had to, that license that they is attached to that SMS for demand that they're now getting, they never had that license. That's if they do put the license number on there. I'm not sure. The only thing I can think of is debt collectors, as long as they're not lawyers, if they're debt collecting firms, they are regulated by the Debt Collectors Council. Yep. And you could report it to them, go onto their website, Debt Collectors Council of South Africa, and complain to them that you're being harassed, even though you're saying you're not liable to pay that license. Mm. And that might be a way of dealing with it. However, if it's a legal practice, if it's a firm of attorneys that the SABC has done this handover to, then they don't fall under the jurisdiction of the Debt Collectors Council. And then you don't have that recourse avenue, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's worth a try. And I've had personal experience of going through that process and it was successful in my
you
case.
Have.
So they were actually very helpful and very swift in dealing with the situation. So I think that's a good piece of advice that's where you could start and check if that collection firm is registered with them. And I hope for your sake that they are so that they can be stopped in their tracks. Okay, I think we've got time to listen to another voice note that's come through and I believe it's a car related question. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Wendy. I have a question. I sent my car into William Simpson, which is a very reputable big company, and they worked on my car, but they took 6 months. And in the 6 months, my car was standing on the roof of the building because of storage issues, which I wasn't aware of. Then when I got my car back, They just gave me a refund. And when I looked at my car, the damage from standing in the sun for 6 months was substantial, to the effect that it has to, my whole car needs to be resprayed because of the type of color that I have. It's a small Vanta black, which is very expensive. Besides that, they damaged my wheel. Because the wheel, it's a, I wouldn't say one of a kind, but it's a very, very rare wheel that only that car comes out with, which costs in excess of 4,000 rand just to be fixed. A new one is almost 10,000 rand.
Ouch.
When I wanted to engage, they just said, go to the ombudsman. The ombudsman has 3,000 pending cases. Is there no way I could maybe engage you to engage them or somehow fast track the matter, because they took 6 months to give my car back without doing anything. How much longer am I not going to wait with a broken wheel? That means my car is going to deteriorate even further.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Wendy, it's astonishing how often we get these reports of the months and months to not do a repair. Any advice in that particular case?
I'm thinking, look, most car related complaints, CPA related, would fall under the MIO, so the Motor Industry Ombudsman of South Africa, but it would be around mechanical issues mainly. This one is one that would fall under the CPA in terms of, and we've often covered cases, negligence in terms of, the Act says that when a supplier has possession of a customer's property, they are required to look after it, safeguard it in a professional and appropriate manner, and that if they fail to do so, and any damages result, now that we've spoken about this with, you know, dealerships not safeguarding their clients' keys and the cars being stolen by somebody who just walked in off the street and got in the car. And the same would apply here. There's a whole separate issue of why they kept the car for 6 months, but certainly keeping it in the hot sun on a roof, unprotected, it certainly without telling him and giving him another option, sounds like clear negligence to me. And I would suggest that he takes the case to the Consumer Goods and Services Ombud. But if you'd like to email us and put all the details and the dates and photos, I wouldn't mind having a bash at engaging with that dealership, getting their side of the story, finding out why 6 months and why unprotected. They had to know that it was going to be cosmetic damage as a result, and seeing what they say. That would be a nice one for a future show. So
it would indeed. Okay, so the person who sent that voice note, please follow it up with an email to Wendy. You're using the address consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R. She knows a lot about consumer affairs. consumer@nola.co.za. Just put Cape Talk car, what do you want to call it? Car storage on roof or something like that.
Yes,
to help
put the
Wendy
word roof
locate
there, so I remember.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, and we'd love to help follow up on that one for you. And as I said, Wendy, I think also, in fairness, let the dealership involved respond
exactly
and share their perspective, seeing as they've been named. I think that's only fair. So please do send us that follow-up email to Wendy. You're welcome to CC me in as well, pippah@capetalk.co.za. Wendy, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the time in Joburg, and look forward to having you back in studio with us next week.
Indeed, I'll be there. Thanks, Pippa.
Thanks.